This service is titled All About Church, and this is one of the passions that I have, what church should be like. And the more we think about it, the more this goes down into some of the most important aspects of who we are. Now, you may already know this, but if you don't, let me share something with you, is that the word church was never intended to mean a building or a place or a time. The word church was about community. The word church was a group of people coming together with a common purpose. We've just turned it over the years into being about a place and a time on a Sunday morning in a building where we gather and sing songs and do amazing things. But that's what we've turned it into. But the church wasn't supposed to be just about Sunday morning. And this is something I'm really passionate about, which is why I chose it for today's topic to share with all of you, because I want you to be passionate about it too. I want us to be challenged to think about, as a community, what is our culture? What is important to us? What should we be paying more attention to? And what are we letting slip that should be the most important things of all? Now, this is a warning now. Children, especially primary age children, you have all the activities and tables on sheets on your tables. You're free now to not listen to the old man talking at the front of the stage and have a go at some of those activities, see if you can complete them, have some colouring, have some fun, enjoy yourself. There will be a minute where I'm going to ask you or have something very specific for you to listen to, but you're allowed to switch off for a minute and colour in and listen in the background. So I'm giving you permission to do that now. Jesus did three really important things in this passage. Really important. And we're going to look at them one by one. Firstly, Jesus chose his community. When Jesus was building his church, and in that passage, he chose his community. Now, specifically, he chose 12 men to be apostles, to be disciples. They're going to be his closest followers, the people that are going to be with him day in, day out, night and day, eating, drinking, sleeping, going to the toilet. They're going to be around him no matter what. But we also know that there are plenty of other people that went with Jesus. He might have singled these 12 out as being particularly important. But the reality is, what about the other thousands of people that went around with Jesus? Men, women, children, adults. These are the people that Jesus chose to be his community. And sometimes I think we forget this. That A, that community is open to everyone. There isn't anyone Jesus excluded from his community. But B, that we are chosen. Jesus chose everyone, but you individually are chosen. Sometimes I think we forget that fact. No matter what age we are, when we're part of church, we have been chosen to be part of Jesus' community. And I find that exciting. I find that thrilling. In fact, this is the most important thing in my life, and if you're here today, it's a good chance that it's the most important thing in your life too. Secondly, Jesus gave them instructions to preach. Gave them instructions to preach. Go and preach. Share the good news. Because Jesus has chosen everyone to be part of this community. And so he instructed them to go and preach. Go and tell other people about this community. Go and share with others the amazing news that they had learned and taken on. The new life, the freedom, the hope, the joy that they had gathered. Jesus gave them instructions, people in his community, to go and share the amazing news. And finally, he provided them with power. Now in the passage, it specifically said he gave them power to drive out demons. But he gave them power to do so much more on top of that as well. These are the disciples, these are the early followers of Jesus, who raised people from the dead, who traveled far and wide, who did miraculous things through the power of God for the kingdom of God. These men and women were given power. in order to go and preach, to get more people to be part of Jesus' community. And the people that he went and sent out, the people that he chose, as I mentioned, came from everywhere. But what sorts of people were they, especially in those 12? Well, there were some fishermen. We know that one. There was a tax collector. That's probably pretty well known. There was a rebel, a zealot, somebody who wasn't going to be afraid about overthrowing the Roman government if that's what needed to be doing. There was a thief. You know what? This is a pretty ragtag bunch of people. And I thought these were supposed to be Jesus' closest followers. If they're representative of the thousands of other people that followed Jesus back then and the millions of people that follow Jesus today, they're basically lots of everyday folk. Now, I don't want to insult anybody here, but I'm seeing in this room some of the most amazing everyday folk that I've ever come across. You are all indeed everyday folk. Now, this is sounding a little bit more like a political rally at this point. We're all everyday people. It's okay. We all know each other. But no, this is important because I'm willing to bet there's some of you sitting here thinking, oh, I am certainly not as good as the disciples were. Because those guys went and did amazing things. The men and women that followed Jesus went on to do incredible things. They may have just have been everyday folk. But that never stopped them from going and doing the preaching in the power. They were a community of everyday folk filled with power to share the good news. It's the one thing they all shared in common. Back then, the early church, the first church, that first community, a community of everyday folk filled with power to share the good news. That's what we've just read. That's the early church. How awesome is that? But do we act like it? Because we're part of that same community. That isn't just the early church. That isn't just the initial followers of Jesus. That isn't just the disciples. That's every follower of Jesus who has ever lived and whoever will live. We all in this room have the power to share the good news. It's what Jesus commanded us to do. But do we act like it? Do we act like we are a community of believers filled with power to share the good news? Do we act like that's our primary function in life? Do we act like we've received the most amazing gift in the world and that we want to share it with other people? Does that come across in our lives? I was doing a little bit of research. And I was wondering, how can I best represent if we're doing this? This is the makeup of Hillingdon from the last census. 53% white, 29% Asian, 8.6% black, 4.7% mixed, and blue, 3.8% of other. I look around this church today, and I'd be willing to say that I'm seeing 75 to 80% white. From different nationalities, sure, but mainly white British. And I actually didn't get any further than trying to look at anything else, because this really struck me. If we are sharing the good news with the people around us, why doesn't our church look like that? If we're sharing the good news with the people around us, why doesn't our church reflect our community? How have we fallen so short of representing our community in this building when it's the most important thing we should be doing? And if this isn't sitting particularly well with you, either maybe because you're feeling a bit angry and aggrieved and you feel like, well, I am doing my bit. Or maybe you're feeling a bit guilty. And this is you're maybe even trying to ignore it, but you're just feeling like there's something there. Please don't ignore that. Do not ignore that feeling. Allow yourself to feel a bit guilty right now, but do not push it away. If you're feeling a bit unsettled, focus on it. Do not just ignore it. Because I think there's a reality here. We love spending time here at church, in this community. We know we do, because Fairfield's amazing. And the people in it are amazing. And that's a good thing. We have an amazing community here that loves and supports one another. But do we get stuck in a Christian bubble too often? Are the things we do just focused around church? Are they with other Christians? Are the main friends that we have predominantly Christian? From the same church or different churches? Doesn't really matter. It's really easy for us just to close ourselves off into a bit of a bubble and to not have to really think about sharing the good news, because you know what? I'm surrounded by Christians. I know I'm blessed because this is where I work. I am surrounded by Christians most of every day because you guys come in here most days. And it's wonderful, it's amazing. But most of us don't work in Christian environments. We're surrounded by people every day who don't know Jesus, who probably, as a group, look a little bit more like that pie chart than it does in this church right now. And in fact, children, this is where I want to give you some praise and tell you the most amazing opportunity that you have. So you can keep drawing, but if I could have one ear, that would be amazing. You guys are surrounded every day with the people that live around you. Now, I'm really sorry that you're forced to go to school. We've all been there, all done it. We all know how horrible it is, or how fun. But it means you are surrounded by people who aren't Christians and who don't look like you, who look more like the makeup of the local area. And that's an amazing opportunity. You guys are forced to be in a situation where you have the most incredible opportunity to use the power God has given you to share the good news. Adults, we don't have the luxury of being forced to go to a situation where we're surrounded by the local community. We don't. We have to choose to do it. We have to choose to take ourselves out of the comfort zone, out of the Christian bubble, and into our local community. And you might be thinking, I'm not like them, the disciples. What can I do? Jack, you're saying a whole load of things. You challenged me, you made me feel guilty, but I'm not like those disciples that went around the world, Paul in prison, shipwrecked, writing all those letters that we still have now. I'm not like those people that went around the world telling people the good news. But you are. Because those thousands of other people, that community of everyday folk filled with power to share the good news, most of them didn't go and travel and live those extraordinary lives. They were people that went back to their villages. They went back to their homes. When Paul went from place to place, he never stayed and became the main man. When Paul went from place to place, he set up churches. In fact, that's the essence of missionary work today. You don't become the main focus. It's around setting up local churches, building up local leaders to do the local work for the kingdom. You might not feel like you're one of the disciples to do amazing things, but you are like one of those amazing people who listened to Jesus, went back to their village, and changed the world. We would not be millions of followers strong around the world today if it wasn't for people starting where they were. The Church of Christ was designed to be a local insurrection. The Church of Christ was made to have an impact. As a community, we're made to make a difference in this world and bring people into the kingdom. It was designed to be that way. That's the purpose, the tasks that Jesus gave us. That's what we were told to do. And you know what? It was meant to be local. We were made to go to our communities, to our local communities, and share the good news where we are. We weren't called to stick in a Christian bubble, to call it church, come on the inside, and be afraid of the outside. We were called church to be a community of people that were filled with power to go and share the good news. We were designed to be a local insurrection, making change where we are. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you, or Chris is going to ask you to do another activity to specifically think about what you can do. But I want to give you a few ideas now to get you thinking about what you can do to be more like that local church, to be more like the person that's willing to go down the street. Number one, get rid of the bubble. Seriously, think about your life right now. Do you feel like you're living in a Christian bubble? How many times do you actually, in your social life, in your free time especially, choose to come to a Christian bubble rather than choosing to going outside it? How often do you choose to spend time with Christians rather than spending time with the people around you? Number two, go local, not easy. I think there's a bit of an irony that easy is actually driving 10 minutes to come to church. Going local should technically be even easier because it's a 5-10 second walk to your next door neighbor. I'm not sure how coming to church became so much easier than knocking on a door, but it did. And I'm here to tell you now that it doesn't have to be that way. Let's go local, not easy. You might really love doing a few different clubs and groups, but you know what? Why don't we choose to invest in groups and clubs that are local to us, that, heaven forbid, aren't Christian groups? Why don't we choose to go local, not easy, when we're making decisions about what to do with our free time? And here's the third one. Be confident in the power within. The same power that lifted Jesus from the grave lives in you today. The same power that lifted Jesus from the grave lives in you today. We were made to be vessels for the Holy Spirit to work and live in us. To live in us and work through us. It's what we were designed for. Be confident in the power within. And there's so many ways that you can become more confident in that. Coming to Sunday mornings is a great way. Getting involved in a small group is another amazing way you can do that. Regularly reading and praying the Bible. But also, experiencing the power. It's like paying for your electricity bill but never switching on the light. You'll never know how amazing it is to be able to turn on that light if you never do it. You might be all paid up, but it doesn't make any difference if you don't use it. Living the Christian life was never meant to be about living in the bubble. We've been given power to overcome demons, to bring freedom to people, to break into situations that feel hopeless and to bring hope, to walk into messy, difficult relationships where there is no love And yet we can bring love to overcome the impossible because we have the power of God inside of us. And that's where I'm going to end you today.